I realized that my sermon on Sunday was pretty long and probably needs no follow-up. Part of the reason why it was longer is because it really didn't come together until Sunday morning, in fact. And what I was struggling with, the reason why it was hard for me to put together, is because I've been agitated about something, and I couldn't figure out how to way to bring that in to a sermon and still make it a sermon. And so I wanted to sort of reflect a bit more on that, as sort of as an afterthought to the sermon. Recently, Gallup did a poll in which they revealed that fewer than half of Americans now identify as being part of a religious community. And this number had stayed from about 1940 to 2000, pretty consistent at or above 70% through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. But since 2000 has been steadily working its way down and now has dropped below 50%, which means that we who say that we're part of a religious community are actually in the minority in this country. And that's really gotten me thinking about and maybe putting more urgency for how we as Christians engage a world that is increasingly secular. And for this, I think we need to turn again and again to the book of Acts and learn from the early church, which started out more or less as a persecuted, incredibly small minority and will grow ultimately to have over half of the population in the Roman Empire. And one of the things that the early church does is it kind of does two things really well. The first thing is that it provides communities of care. Roman society was a lot like American society in that it was a little bit kind of dog-eat-dog. And the Roman world, again, was a lot of battles, big military, always fights in the empire. It was a harsh world in a lot of ways if you weren't in the upper classes. And Christianity comes along and provides this community of care. And in fact, during the plagues in the Roman Empire, Christianity grows really quickly because Christians were some of the few people that actually cared for people. So again, communities of care. The second thing is that the early Christian church was able to love across social boundaries that existed and were just so prevalent in Roman society as they are today. And so you just have this community that has this incredible ability to both love each other as Christ loved them, but also then love people that are different. And this combination just proved, it conquered Rome, really. And so I couldn't, again, get that to a sermon, but that's what I was trying to get at with some of these love languages, just to help us understand the ways in which what was going on in the early church was unique and special, but not something that we can't replicate today through the power of the Spirit. Again, this... And again, I put in terms of five love languages, I could have done it in any sort of arrangement. But again, this capacity to love fiercely within the community, but then also the ability to reach beyond and love the neighbor who was different. So that's my afterthought for you. I hope the five love languages of the early church gave you some fodder to think about how you love other people and maybe even indeed how we love other people as a community and where the Spirit may be challenging you and calling you to grow and to become a more open vessel of God's love in your life this week.